Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As usual, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Well, David, we've been looking at various texts as a way of illustrating one of our basic sermon coach principles, namely, that is to early on in the sermon preparation process, come up with the answer to four basic questions. So let's review what those four questions are.
Hopefully, we don't even have to say what they are, but pastors have listened to us enough times that they can get them on their own. Even so, the first question is, what's the subject of this text? Second question is, what's the response being called for? And then the third question usually isn't in the text. I don't know what your text is, so we'll have to find out as I hear you. But the next one is, what's the how-to? If you say, I want you to pray more, but people don't know how to do that, then how do you teach them to pray? What are those specific suggestions you make? And the last one relates to time. How long will it take before I begin to make this that you're suggesting a part of my life? So subject, response, how-to, how long. It's going to be easier to understand those probably as we get to the given text that you've chosen.
Well, David, I've chosen a text, and I want to see if together, without a whole lot of other input, we can do precisely what you've been talking about. This is a passage from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Let me read that.
You're in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, I am. Sermon on the Mount. In fact, we're in about the middle of the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And those are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God, yes. So now we're going to go to those four questions. If you say that's the passage that you're going to preach on, the question would be, what is the subject? And I guess the subject, I'm just kind of playing with it as I hear it again, is treasures. And the response you want is to lay those treasures up in heaven, not here on earth. That seems to be that middle paragraph, the eye, the lamp of the body and such, that I'm going to just leave that alone for a while. But he's saying at the end, you can't serve both God and money. So where are you putting your treasure? And if you say, what's the subject? I'm even playing with that in a bigger context. The subject is kind of the kingdom lifestyle. Jesus is saying as he preaches the Sermon on the Mount, if you're going to be a part of my kingdom, this is how you should live. So then I would probably put the response being is lay up treasures in heaven. I try to get into a sentence, so if I would try to put that in a sentence, I think it would be, in the kingdom lifestyle Jesus proposed, participants lay up treasures in heaven, not here on earth. So that's kind of where I would go with it, I think. If you come to the place where you say, okay, that's the subject, the kingdom lifestyle, and in the kingdom lifestyle you don't lay up treasures here on earth, you lay up treasures in heaven, the big question is going to be, how do you do that? And then we're going to come to the realization that usually the scriptures don't tell you the how-to. So that's where the preaching begins to get into the very practical area. So in the kingdom lifestyle, participants lay up treasures in heaven, not here on earth. And I would say that probably in my head, there are different commodities you're talking about when you're dealing with treasures that we have. And I'm just playing with this, okay? I would say one would be time that you have. That relates to your treasure. Probably money, which is out of the text, your financial resources. And then I think talents are another area that you have, which are not just the actual money. So how do you invest those in heaven as opposed to investing them here on the earth? And you get into those kind of issues. So it's probably, in my mind, I say I have X amount of time this week, and if I want to invest that time in kingdom matters, that became one of the reasons I went into the ministry. You know, because it seemed to me that in terms of investment of time, the more time I could put into kingdom matters, the better off I would be. And it wasn't just a calculated thing like that. But I think that's what everybody deals with. I have X amount of time in my life, and how much time do I invest in kingdom matters? And at a certain point, they come to the decision, it would be great if I could invest all my time. And then you become full-time in terms of Christian work, in a sense, to other people, then help you. They help when you're talking in terms of money. If it weren't for people giving money, I would never be able to invest all my time. But they free me to invest all my time. And I try to tell them repeatedly, you are involved in everything that I'm able to accomplish because you're allowing me to give all of my time to the kingdom. But I couldn't do that if it weren't for you giving much of your money to be able to allow me to have that privilege. I think the same thing is true of talents now. And if you say, this is a talent, I can use it to make myself money, to make myself fame, or I can use it to forward the kingdom. Say you're athletically inclined. This is a treasure I have, and I can become a major league ball player, or I could invest my time teaching kids how to play soccer as an entree to teach them how to become a part of the kingdom. You know, those are all choices that people make as far as investing in terms of heaven or investing in terms of earth. But that's probably where I would go with that kind of a thing.
It could also be that you do whatever it is that you're talented at, you do it the very best that you can, and that excellence stands as a witness for Christ as well. If someone says, you seem to work hard, you seem to be driven to do your very best, what drives you? And you can say, well, I'm a representative of Christ here on earth, and I'm trying to do the best I can and stand as a... God opens those doors.
Well, that's the Tim Tebow story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the Jeremy Lin story. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do this, and they say, I do it, but really I'm able to because of Jesus. He's mm-hmm. the reason for my life. So that's a whole different way of investing treasures right. in heaven. Mm-hmm. And they're very outspoken in that and have huge impact because of what they do. So, no, I'm glad the way you brought that up, because it doesn't mean everybody has to follow the path that I've followed, saying I'm involved full-time in Christian ministry. That's not necessarily the option for everyone. I think a person has the option to say, I could forward the cause of the kingdom by going into politics, and I'm investing my life in that as a Christian, making that known, because I feel I can better the world with the skills I've been given that way. So that person's putting up treasures in heaven, you know. So it's not as easy as saying there's only one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. That middle part that we skipped over, where the eye is the lamp of the body, it occurs to me that Jesus can be speaking there about a clarity of vision. And one of the things that I've come to over the course of my life is I think we have drawn a line or created a dichotomy in the family of God that God probably doesn't want to be there. For example, we talk about people in full-time ministry, and we think of pastors and missionaries and parachurch people and so forth. But I think the reality is God wants all of us to be in full-time ministry, in the sense that the principal thing that drives us or directs our life is, what do we do for Christ and his kingdom? And then everything else falls into place. Now, I may not work as a pastor, or I may not work as a missionary. That may not be my vocational responsibility. But what's driving my life is that my life belongs to God. My acknowledgement of what Christ has done in redeeming me, my life belongs to God. Therefore, I am, in fact, full-time committed to the kingdom of God. Everything else takes a back seat to that commitment. But also that commitment rises to the surface in everything that I do.
Yeah, I think that's great. In fact, I think that if I just listening to you, if I preach that sermon, it may be that I can say from my perspective and from my experience, this is how the passage has worked out in my life. But I want you to hear Dean Wilson, who's a good friend, and I want him to tell you how it's worked out in his life, because it's quite different. And there's really not a dichotomy here. We both have satisfied what the passage is talking about. And there are going to be way more people like Dean Wilson than there are like David Maines. And I want you to be able to identify with either one of us and see that we're really one and the same.
Yeah, I think more people in the kingdom need to understand that what God calls them to is full-time ministry,
yes,
no matter where he may have placed them.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's also true that there are people who are full-time ministers who don't have the same understanding of investing treasures in heaven, because they're in it for their own sake. Mm-hmm. This happens to be the profession where they get paid and where they get their strokes and all the rest. And so it doesn't mean just because you've become a minister or a missionary that the problem's solved in your life. So being able to have it from different perspectives, though, I think is a very healthy way to approach that topic.
That could be a sermon where you do use several examples of people stand, and I mean, they would have well prepared a short 3 or 4 minute little mini talk, mm-hmm, and as an illustration of how they're laying up treasure.
But they're all saying, mm-hmm, in the kingdom lifestyle Jesus proposed, this is how I am laying up treasures in heaven, not here on earth. Yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. So again, we come back to those four questions, and the four questions are there to help a pastor understand the heart of the passage in a way that he or she can present it to the congregation and get that necessary response, give them the how-to, help them understand how long, and that makes preaching become life-transforming.
Yeah, good. Good summary.
We're so grateful you joined us for a conversation today, and we invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.